Thank you. You may be seated this morning. Today, as we continue to follow Jesus through the last year of his ministry, we are seeing that we're following him from the upper room to the Garden of Gethsemane. And since Jesus is in between two places, it almost makes sense for us to be in between two scriptures. We're going to be in the end of John chapter 15 and the beginning of John chapter 16 this morning. And as you're turning there, I have a question for you. Has anyone ever sent you a gift? I received one in the mail the other day from a friend. A friend sent us a box of mystery. It's behind me on the screen. I do not have a Ford car, but over 5 gallons of Ford oil might be enough for some Fords to make it through a week. I'm just saying. I had one of those at one point in time. But my friend sent me a text with this cryptic box saying, "I have something for you. It's coming in the mail. Don't be afraid." I don't know about you, but I am immediately afraid of what this box of mystery could mean. And sure enough, this box ended up on my front porch. Now, my friend recycled the box, and inside of it, he placed an amazing gift. We didn't know what it was, but it was a total surprise in my joy when I opened it up, and I saw these two big, beautiful bags of Kahn's potato chips. The salt and vinegar, Ginger's favorite. And then mine was that beautiful orange bag next to it. The best potato chips on this or any other planet, Kahn's barbecued potato chips. I love those things. And I know if you ever had them, you'd probably be like, "Why is Pastor raging about these things?" I love them. I don't know what about them makes it. I just love them. They're awesome. And my friend knew that we both liked them, but Kahn's is a regional company. They sell them in central Ohio, and they don't sell them up here in the snow belt. So my friend was thinking of us, had the box, the chips fit in the box, and he mailed them up to us. And it was kind of a neat surprise to open them up and go, "Ah!" Especially, I don't know about Ginger, but for me, I was really excited because those were good chips. My lunch plans immediately changed. Sandwich and chips, there it was. I knew what I was having right then and there. Without saying. But that was a great gift, right? For me, at least. But a gift of chips might not be as wonderful for you, but let me ask you this question again. Have you ever been sent a gift? Something that, shall I say, is better than my box of chips? Well, today, Jesus is about to share with us a gift. One that is sent to us, and one that I have to admit that is definitely better than my Kahn's barbecue potato chips. And that's really good. Because as much as that was a good surprise for me, the gift that Jesus is saying is ours today, that he's sending us, is a gift that's even better than that. So what is it and what can it mean to us? Well, let's find out together this morning as we look at John chapter 15 and verse 26. "But I will send you the Advocate, the Spirit of Truth, and he will come to you from the Father and will testify all about me. And you must also testify about me because you have been with me from the beginning of my ministry." So Jesus is talking to them about a gift that they are going to receive. But you have to remember, there was no Amazon back then. There was no UPS or FedEx. No stagecoach coming down the trail with something on it for them. No Pony Express, no mail system of any way, shape, or form. So Jesus sending them something, it's a bit vague for the disciples, right? How is this gift going to come? What's it going to look like? And how am I going to know that I have it? And then believe it or not, they're going to get a very visible answer to this question about 52 days from this moment. And they'll definitely know that that gift has been delivered. They'll not need an email saying that it's been left at your door. No, they won't have to question whether or not they've received it. And since we have a few days before their gift arrive, let's talk about this gift that is coming to the disciples. You see, Jesus calls this gift the Advocate, the Spirit of Truth. And this is just another way for him to reference or talk about the Holy Spirit. And Jesus does this for us today by mentioning the characteristics of the Holy Spirit, that he is an advocate. The Greek word that's used here means an intercessor, a counselor, a comforter, and a helper. That the Holy Spirit, or more appropriately, when the Holy Spirit comes, that He is going to be something for us. He will be our intercessor. Someone who is representing God to us, and us to God. And more importantly, if He's the one who's representing God in our hearts and in our lives, it means that He's going to come and be doing the work of God inside of us. It means that He will be a counselor. This means someone who will be alleviate grief and trouble. So the Holy Spirit is going to come to us and help us overcome and get past the grief and trouble of this life. And yes, there is grief and trouble in our lives. They happen all the time. And the Spirit will come and He will be a comforter. Someone who brings about great strength and joy. And this is what the Spirit will do for us. He will be here for us to give us both strength and hope as we navigate this life. And then He will be a helper, someone who can increase what you do. If one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put what? 10,000. A helper comes, and when a helper comes alongside of us, it doesn't just do something mathematically we call addition, it's multiplication. It adds to what we are able to do and happen and accomplish. And this is what the Holy Spirit is going to do for us. He's going to come alongside and help us do more than what we could be able to do without Him. And this morning, we will have all of this because Jesus says that the Spirit will come from the Father. But not just from the Father. The words that being used here means that He's part of the Father, the Godhead again. All three, unique and in one. You can't separate them. That the Spirit of God is coming from God, from the Father. It's part of Him coming to you. And since it's part of the Father, the Spirit will be able to do the Father's will here on earth. And the will of our Father in our hearts and lives is revealing God's truth, showing us God's righteousness and so much more. But the Spirit will do something else. Jesus tells us that the Spirit will testify about Me. Now, the Greek word that's used here for testify means two things: to bear witness and to give evidence. So when the Holy Spirit comes and touches our hearts and lives, the Holy Spirit will bear witness to Jesus. He will tell us and show us who Jesus is. We can learn about God and grow in Him because He's showing us the way to go. But the Holy Spirit is not just going to give witness. He's going to bring and give evidence to Jesus being alive in our hearts. We are going to have evidence, or what we like to call proof, that something's real. Proof that there's this water bottle here in front of me. It's just as easy for us to say that there is proof in our lives of the Holy Spirit touching and being in us. We've been changed. His power is alive working in us. And we get that proof, the evidence that the Spirit is there working inside of us. And while that's great, Jesus shares with His disciples that you must also testify. That you are going to have the ability to do something, to share something, to experience, and then relate. Now, to try to help us understand how this works, my math teacher told me to memorize all of my math facts. Because she told me, and I quote, "You are not going to walk around all the time with a calculator on you, so you must memorize those things." And I'm probably not the only one who's ever heard that. My English teacher told me that I had to learn to spell because there was nothing that would correct my spelling for me. She told me that. I had a teacher say to memorize facts about people and places because I couldn't carry an encyclopedia with me either. And another teacher said I had to learn to read a map because I would never be able to travel anywhere I had never been before without one. Sorry. But guess what? I carry a calculator with me wherever I go. It's on there. And as a matter of fact, Carter not only has a calculator on his phone because of algebra, he has a scientific calculator on his phone and a fraction calculator. I wish I had that fraction calculator when I was going through school. Oh, my goodness. But isn't that great? Spelling? Autocorrect anyone? It's a wonderful thing and a curse all at the same time. And some people know what I'm talking about. It can correct things in your text that you didn't mean it to correct. And, right? Traveling encyclopedia. The Meadows household is full of joy and excitement. We watched Sergeant York last night. 1941, Gary Cooper. It was on TCM. It's one of my favorite films, and we watched it. And I didn't have a set of encyclopedias in front of me, but I forgot exactly where Sergeant York was from in Tennessee, and he was the Valley of the Three Rivers and stuff. I'm like, Valley of the Three Rivers. So I did Google, where was Sergeant York from? And all of a sudden, it was right there for me to hear, right? And I can't tell you how many times I've punched in an address in Waze and hit go, and away I went. This little piece of technology has been there to help, to lead, to guide, to correct, to show the right number in certain times, right? We've been there. But I want you to see that just like the cell phone, the Holy Spirit is a tool that will help us do, know, and go. Because that's what the Spirit is designed to do in our lives. And because God is in our hearts and lives, we, through the power of the Holy Spirit, will also bear witness or give evidence of what God has done in our lives. Amen. Because of the Spirit inside of us, He's going to be our helper, the one who's going to come alongside of us and help us understand and realize who we are, what we've been created to be, and how we can make it down the path and journey of this life. He will be able to help us tell other people about who Jesus is because we will have all the information provided us by the Spirit. God's Word tells us that He will give us the words to say, which means that we just have to learn to listen to His voice and share what He tells us. It means we just have to repeat. And because the Spirit in our lives will be able to give evidence of what God has done in us, you will now have His voice talking to you in this world. And because His voice is talking to you, it also means that you have a testimony. Pastor, I don't know if I have one of those. Yes, you do. All of us do. And we find out what our testimony is by answering this question. What has God done in your life? That's it. That's the question. What has God done in your life? Where were you before you called His name, where He called your name? What was your life like before you met Him? And how did He change you? Because that is your testimony or your story. And each and every one of us has a testimony, a story about what God has done in our lives, of the ways He's moved, of the things that He's touched, of how He's been there for us. Each and every one of us have a story about how God has touched us. But this morning, are we telling other people about it? Are we telling people about the most amazing thing that has ever happened to us? Because we're quick to tell other people about places we've been. The Kalahari, Scene 75. If you don't know about any of those places, my boys will be happy to tell you about them. But listen, we do this, don't we? I mean, we tell people about amazing restaurants we've been to. Oh, you've got to go eat here. And then the converse of that. And don't go to this place. Whatever you, don't go there. It's bad. We're willing to share that. But when it comes to the absolute best thing that will ever happen to us, period, do we share that? Is it even a topic of conversation? I mean, we want people to know about the best potato chip on the planet. Right? But do we tell them about the best things that can happen to them on any planet? Because if we're not sharing what God has done in our lives, the best thing that has ever happened to us, then it's time that we learn to rely on the power of the Holy Spirit to step out in faith and to share. And remember, we can't be ashamed of Him here because things won't go well for us later. And we have to understand that if we do this now, something else will begin to happen to us as we do. Look at John chapter 16 and verse number 1. I have told you these things so that you won't abandon your faith. For you will be expelled from the synagogues, and the time is coming that when those who kill you will think that they are doing a holy service for God. And this is because they have never known the Father or me. Yes, I'm telling you these things now so that when they happen, you will remember my warning. I didn't tell you earlier because I was going to be with you for a while longer. You see, we have to learn to rely on the Holy Spirit for a very specific reason. So you won't abandon your faith. And let's be honest about life. Are you ready? Things will happen to us that will make us want to give up. Life isn't easy. And it was never promised to be easy. But somewhere along the way, we've brought the idea that because we know Jesus, that our life should be like this wonderful fairy tale, and we just ride off into the sunset and live happily ever after. But remember, that's how the movie ends. That's not the story of the movie, that's the ending. And we get that mixed up. We think that because we know Jesus that everything just should be great and grand, but the ending of the story is the happily ever after. The movie was full of all kinds of things. Nobody ever watched Cinderella and then says, let me be a slave to my stepmother, that's going to be great. Or Snow White and having the stepmother try to put my heart in a little box, isn't that great? Send the guy out into the woods to kill me, oh, woo-hoo. That's not happily ever after. It's not. But there was a lot of hard stuff that happened before that point. And in a way, that's what life is really like for us. At the end, yes, we will have happily ever after. But until that point, either when Jesus comes to get us or we meet him, we are going to face hardship and trials here on earth. And if we are really honest in what we see, we will understand that making things hard on us has been one of Satan's most powerful tools. Because let's face it, we have a tendency to give up when things get hard. How many of us have started something, a project or something else? It should be easy! And then it doesn't get easy. And either we get to the point where we're so frustrated that we give up, or we're frustrated but we keep going on through it to get it done, and we make that statement, I'm never going to do that again. Because in this life, if we get frustrated, we tend to give up. We tend to give in. And Satan knows how we're wired, and he'll try to make the best of that. And he'll try to make sure that life gets hard for you, so that you'll get frustrated and not want to read your Bible or pray. So that you'll be exhausted and not want to continue. So that you'll throw in the towel and stop any further forward progress. And we cannot throw in the towel just because life gets hard. It's in those times that we have to learn to trust and rely on the power of the Holy Spirit, that we'll be able to stand firm and strong because he will be our counselor, the one that will help us through the grief and trouble of this life. That he will be our comforter, that will give us strength and hope through every trial that we'll face. And that he will be our helper that will increase our ability to hold on to come out the other side. But just don't hang on our hat there, because there's more. Just listen to what happens next in verse number 5. But now I'm going away to the one who sent me, and not one of you is asking me where I'm going. Instead, you grieve because of what I've told you. But in fact, it is best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the advocate won't come. If I go away, then I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of its sin, and of God's righteousness, and of the coming judgment. And the world's sin is that it refused to believe in me. Righteousness is available because I go to the Father, and you will see me no more. And judgment will become because the ruler of this world has already been judged. You see, the power of the Holy Spirit doesn't just stop with him being our advocate, our comforter, our counselor. The Holy Spirit will do other things as well. He will convict the world of sin. The Spirit of God is the one that brings about conviction, showing us that we are wrong and that there is a better way. That feeling inside of us that tells us that something isn't right, that we shouldn't do this. That's the Holy Spirit inside of us trying to lead and guide and steer us away from things that are wrong, things that will hurt us, things that won't help us grow. And when we live in the power of the Spirit and speak the truth, we can learn to listen to that voice and avoid those things that can bring danger. And when we learn to listen to the voice of the Spirit and speak that truth that He's putting in our hearts and lives, and we speak that to other people, it allows the Spirit to do the same thing in their lives, to try to steer them and tug them. Maybe that's not the best thing. Maybe there's another way. Maybe there's a better way. And that's why we also say that the Holy Spirit will convict the world of God's righteousness. Now, an easier way for us to understand is that through Jesus, there is a way for us to be made right with God. That because of the leading and the power of the Spirit, that we felt Him tug on our lives. Even after you've asked Jesus in your heart and life, you feel that tug of the Spirit telling us that you can do better, that you can be more, that I'll help you. Because the Holy Spirit is there to lead and guide us and help us overcome. And the Holy Spirit will convict the world of the coming judgment. You see, the Holy Spirit will let us know the importance of what we are facing, that we have to be made right with God before it's too late. This Spirit will help us realize what's at stake, heaven or hell, happily ever after, are the worst experience that you will ever face that will never, ever stop. And the Spirit moving in our hearts and lives help us not just see the situation, but it helps us warn other people about it as well. Because we're the ones that are supposed to testify. But while we're here, Jesus also said something that we need to answer. What is the world's sin? Well, Jesus tells us rather plainly what it is. That it refused to believe in Jesus, and that people refused to be made right with God. So just believing that there is a God is not enough for us to avoid hell. Just believing that Jesus was a real person isn't enough for us to make it into heaven. The world's sin is that they refuse to accept the sacrifice of Jesus for their lives, to forgive their sins and say, Jesus, come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior and begin a relationship with Him. And this is what the Holy Spirit is fighting against and why it's so important for us to have the Spirit in our lives. Because through the Holy Spirit, we can be made right with God because of Jesus. The Holy Spirit is who works on our hearts and our lives and helps pull us and push us towards Him. Because that is what the Spirit will help us with. Our sinful nature is always trying to pull us away from God. Our sinful nature is always trying to make us go the wrong way and do the wrong thing. But when we rely on the power of the Spirit, He's the one that's tugging us and saying, no, you can make it. No, you can do it. Let me help you. But we have to surrender our hearts and lives to Him. And the Holy Spirit does so much more. Look at verse 12. There is so much more I want to tell you, but you can't bear it now. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will speak not on His own, but will tell you what He's heard. And He will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by telling you whatever He receives from me. And that belongs to the Father is mine. And that is why I said, the Spirit will tell you whatever He receives from me. You see, what the Spirit does in our lives hasn't stopped yet. The Holy Spirit is going to continue to do things like guide you into all truth. Have you ever had a guided tour of anything? There's a difference between walking around and just seeing things and walking around with someone who actually knows what happened and why things are important. You can walk around Colonial Williamsburg. It's nice. I can say, do it. It's a lot of fun. For me, I'm a history nerd, so it was fun. But it's one thing walking around Colonial Williamsburg, and it's another thing being on a guided tour where when you're standing in the Capitol, the tour guide goes, yeah, the big ugly guy from Ohio standing right there, he's standing in the spot where Patrick Henry said, give me liberty or give me death. That's fun. That was cool. That's where give me liberty or give me death was. And over here next to it was where Thomas Jefferson sat. Right? I didn't know that before. I was just walking through. But the guide told me things I didn't know. The guide explained things to me that made it come to life and made it more real. And that is what the Holy Spirit does for us. He will show you the way. He will help you learn about God and reveal His righteousness. And He'll help us understand. But sometimes that seems short of what our guide really will do for us, because Jesus tells us that he will tell you about the future. Remember, God knows everything because he's God. He's omniscient, is what we like to call it. That means he not only knows everything that always happened, he knows everything that always will happen, and he knows it all at the same time. There is nothing that God doesn't know, and that means there's nothing that God doesn't know about what's to come. He knows everything. He's not just one step ahead of you. He's probably a couple million years ahead of you. And he has a plan for your life. And the Holy Spirit wants to lead and guide you through your life as you trust in him. Not only does God know everything, but that plan is going to happen. And as our guide, the Holy Spirit will help us with everything that will come our way. He wants to help us walk in his plan because he knows the future. And he wants us to not be afraid of it, but to help us face what's coming. I mean, just look at the Apostle Paul. Wrote most of the New Testament. And what I think are some of his best books are the books where he's telling everybody, the Spirit's told me my life is about to be poured out. AKA, I'm going to die. God told me, my life is about over and I'm going to go to him. And here's some things you need to know before I go. And they're some of his best books that we have. But the Spirit was trying to show him what was to come and prepare him and to get him ready. And how many times does the Spirit try to prepare us and get us ready for the things that are coming in our lives? And when he does, he will bring glory to God by making us more like Jesus. Because that's what the Holy Spirit is trying to do in each and every one of us who has accepted him as our Savior. It should be our goal in life to be what John the Baptist said, that he must increase and I must decrease. But for that to happen, we must learn to do something. We have to learn to listen to the Spirit's voice. He speaks to us every day, but do we hear and do we listen? That still small voice. Have we prayed enough and listened enough that we hear it? When the Spirit starts to tell us something's right or wrong, do we obey it? Or do we do our own thing? I don't have time for that today, Lord. Sorry. No, Lord, I'm not talking to that person about this. I don't want to do that. Or do we obey the voice that we hear? You see, we have to allow him to change who we are. We can't be in control. We've got to let him be our guide. And if someone is our guide, that means we have to learn to follow. But here's the hard part. We don't like to follow, we like to lead. And it's okay to admit it, because we all are wired that way. We don't like to follow, we like to lead. But God sometimes calls us to follow. To follow what the Spirit's trying to do and show us in our hearts and lives. And that also means that we have to learn to trust him to help us as our comforter. To help us through the hard times in this life, as our counselor, as our helper. And this morning, how are we doing and moving in the power of the Holy Spirit? Are you relying on him to do those things in your life? Are you open to him doing that and showing you more of who he is? Are you open to him pouring his Spirit out upon you to help you in mighty ways in your life? How are you with the power of the Holy Spirit moving in you? Are you listening to his voice? Are you letting him lead? Because if he's not all of those things in your life today, don't leave here today without this gift for you. It's better than a box of potato chips. And I'm not, if Brandon's listening today to online, thank you for that box of potato chips. It was a great gift. I'm not downgrading that box of potato chips. But the gift of the Holy Spirit is better than anything we get in this world. New car, fancy house, new wardrobe, better than. Best job, big income, big bank account, better than. But are we allowing the Spirit control in us? Are we allowing Him to pull and change us closer to Him? Are we listening? This morning, is the Spirit alive and well in you? Let's pray. Father, today we come before you asking that you would be here in a mighty way. Spirit, come and move in our hearts and lives and be our guide right now. Convict right now. Help us to see if we need to change right now. We know that that's what you're here to do. So Spirit of the living God, help us right now. If we're struggling with life, help us to trust you. If we're in times of grief or trouble, help us to follow, knowing that you're going to come beside us with strength and hope. If we're struggling today, Lord, help us to realize and say, Lord, be my helper and help me today. Help me to share your love with those that need it. Help me to hear your voice when you speak. Help me to listen when you say turn or change. Help me to do what you call me to do. Help me to hear and respond. Help me to see the importance of what I'm doing. Help me to rely on you today. Spirit of God, touch us today and help us see where we are with you. In Jesus' name, amen.